Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites. And don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including former Packers safety and host on 105.3 The Fan in Milwaukee, Leroy Butler. He was on with Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs this morning at 8 a.m. You could also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. I'm going to guess that's Phil Collins singing in my ear right now. Yeah. What? Phil Collins on.
What's going on here today? Is. I looked. It's not even his birthday.
Genesis.
He's got a birthday in January. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm lost.
Never a bad
I'm
time
lost.
For Phil Collins, baby.
Man, talk about it.
Yeah, I would disagree. I think there are some times that aren't good to listen to Phil Collins.
Joe Spadoni, our board op. I gave
Steiny,
you a bone with Doug Russell.
I would have thought this is one of your favorite bands, Genesis. It's around your time, right?
Well,
my time.
We got to stipulate between Genesis and Phil Collins' solo career.
Okay, so like, you're a fan of either?
Yeah, both were great.
Genesis better. You know, I like a little. I'll tell you what. Come back in with Salisbury Hill next time. All right. Then now that's
what about?
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
That's
his best work ever, and that was solo in the air tonight. I've been thinking. I'm feeling.
Yeah, that's not Salisbury Hill.
No, that's his best work. That's Phil's best work, is what I'm saying.
I only know that song because Mike Tyson sung it.
No, I don't know about that one. Good one. But In the Air Tonight is Phil Collins, to me, his best work, and that's when he was solo dolo. That's what
In the Air is only, I only know that song because Mike Tyson on The Hangover was singing it. Remember when he walked in and knocked out?
Yeah, that song?
Yeah.
I broke my back.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't. What's the occasion? I mean, what, Phil Collins, he's going to a Hall of Fame or something? He win an award? What's the occasion?
He is an Academy Award winner.
Yes, the beautiful thing about music is how Spadoni's feeling. Just had a birthday.
Right,
we didn't even wish a birthday, man. He had a birthday.
Who had a birthday? Spadoni or Phil Collins?
Spadoni, you were gone. Yeah, I found out.
Oh, hey, happy
later.
Birthday.
Belated.
I'm 40.
Okay. Yeah, Spadoni's like me, Steiny. He walks around without telling anybody that it's his birthday.
God.
Doesn't like to be the center of attention. I like a guy like that. You know, you get a guy like Guru Steiny who's celebrating his birthday for a month. He's got a thing called a birthday month. You know, you celebrate every weekend, you pop bottles every weekend.
We had a holiday. You remember that? We had to go get a cake and a card.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that?
Hey, by the way,
I roll like that.
By the way, Bonte, you're out on this one, well, as far as we know. Hey, guys, Father's Day's coming up next Sunday. Good. And Spadoni.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
First Father's Day. Yep.
First Father's Day?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, yeah, Spadoni.
Well, that's...
What are you guys getting? Do you guys get presents still for Father's Day? What do your kids do for you, Steiny and Goo? I got to find this out.
Yeah,
go
not
ahead,
much.
Steiny, because I've been... Yeah.
I mean, maybe make a card. They might make me breakfast. That's about it. Yeah, so I might get like a drill. I'm like a drill.
You sound so disappointed.
Maybe a saw. I don't know.
Well, I see
you sound disappointed, Steiny.
Right.
Yes, I'm different.
You know, the big decision is really whether to golf or not on Father's Day. Because
it's your day. You got to do that, Steiny.
No, but the point is everybody golfs on Father's Day. So then you're out there, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
There's too many COVID-19 people.
COVID-19 is still out there, you know.
That's a problem.
Guru Mia doing anything for you? Nice little gold chain or something? Little watch?
No, what she's doing is starting to bother me. It just happened on my birthday. She buys the cards for the kids and then will leave the cards in her car and come give them to me like 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, and I put an end to it. I say, hey, look, if you don't give it to me when I wake up, it's like you never gave it to me. Don't go give it to me at 4:30 or 5 o'clock when the day's damn near gone by, Stani. Act like you care and give it to me in the morning. That's what I do when it's her birthday. Don't give it to me at 4:45. Then it's like a chore.
That is whack.
Yeah, we got into it on my birthday when she gave me all three cards, and I was like, it's not real. You know what I mean, Bonte? I used to give my mom and dad the cards.
Can't do it.
They were in the bed. When they wake up, we'd go give it to them, you know?
Wow.
Just a little respect.
Wow.
That might be literally the most selfish thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's not only
That's
selfish.
What she said.
But Kyle.
Come off
Kyle.
Selfish?
They've made Father's Day sound so damn depressing that, man, like, my expectations just not
You'll
setting the bar high at all.
Up that day.
I'm making a pros and cons list of fatherhood, and this is going in the cons. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like being a father is so great, according to these two guys. All right, Spadoni, hopefully Spadoni, you have a great Father's Day. Hopefully you have a good one.
Well,
all
the
right.
kid's teething, so probably not.
There you go.
Oh, damn. Damn, let me switch the subject, man. You guys are putting me in the mood, man. Good Lord. I'll get something for you guys for Father's Day. How about that? I'll try to figure something out. Kyle, producer Kyle, maybe we'll get Guru a card at 12 o'clock
instead
of 4.
Stay off Twitter maybe that day. Right. You know, half the day, my friend.
You get Steiny a golf ball or something. I don't know. Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, just saw on Twitter that Big Golliver from the Washington Post and also Shams Charania announced that LaMarcus Aldridge, San Antonio Spurs power forward, will miss the remainder of the 2019-20 season after undergoing right shoulder surgery. Spurs were four games back in the west of the eighth spot. They're in a mix, and it sounds like they're not going to be in a mix for too much longer with LaMarcus Aldridge going down to a shoulder injury.
What
sounds like
so
Popovich is punting on the season. Yeah, I don't know. Popovich is like the hell with Orlando. Stay back. But speaking of which, Guru, you had some questions that you needed to answer before the break. I want to get there before we move on to the NBA.
Basically, our analogy on this show is would you go up to the booth and place the bet? And I was strong about the Warriors at least getting to the Western Conference Finals. I still believe that. But what's making me a little nervous, fellas, is bounce back from not Clay, Draymond. And I know the time off it'll be in his favor, but can he get back to the junkyard dog? And when we originally had the conversation, I was like, hell yes. And now, you know, and I'm not doubting Dre. I just need to see it. And if he's not, and this conversation is kind of just taking us there, I mean, he's a big part of the puzzle for me, for the Warriors to do what they're going to do. And I'm in wait and see mode now from Draymond. So that's all that had me, you know, you sensed a little, my voice trepidation.
But here's the thing. You are doubting Draymond, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, and I admit that.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally admit that.
So then.
And you know what? Real quick, I'm going to say this. Real quick, Stani, the origin of that doubt came up after the podcast Tia did with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. And I had made my...
Because you could tell that his jumper wasn't falling?
No, none of that.
In that interview?
He
wasn't defending well during that interview?
None of that, Stani. Just my...
So you're worried about him because he's as confident as he's ever been? Like, what worried you about that?
Just some comments, like when he compared himself to Barkley, and he kind of said that he took, you know, this season off when he was supposed to be in the leadership role. So he really didn't have that injury to where we could say it was okay for you to miss games. But from a leadership standpoint and a physical standpoint, this wasn't his best year. And I know it was a short sample size, but he was the reason it was a short sample size. So until I actually see him bounce back, fellas, and we all do, then I'll be more confident in saying, you know, with my assessment on what the Warriors can do as a whole next year. And it's big. It's a big year for them.
Yeah. I agree.
All righty.
Right. Nice job,
I ain't mad at you, Koo, because I do believe it is a big year for Draymond Green. Man, a lot of pressure on him to step up and play that big contract. You've heard me. I'm not worried about Steph. I'm not worried about Klay, believe it or not. Wild, Wiggins is Wiggins. We'll see what he's the wild card, too. But the biggest X factor for me is Draymond Green. And with the way this offseason has gone, or this breaking the action due to the pandemic, he's put a lot of pressure on himself to ball. When you put yourself in the same category as Charles Barkley, when you say you've impacted a game alongside Steph, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to go out and ball out next season. And it may be the biggest year of his career in just terms of what he needs to do to produce for the Warriors to become a championship contender again. Because it's fan base. Let's be honest, man. We read the text line every day, Chill Not Nobody text line. We get the phone calls. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is losing fans out here, believe it or not. He's losing fans. I don't know about you, Stiney, out there in Oakland and Guru out there in the Yoon, but to me out here in the city, people are like, get rid of Dray. And I'm like, wait, hold your horses here. There is pressure on Draymond Green to perform. He is to be the X factor.
I wonder what the percentage is of fans that are kind of tiring of Draymond. It's to me, it's so hard to gauge, you know. But I do think... I think obviously he's the third most popular Warrior behind Steph and Klay. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I would think that most Warrior fans like to hear Draymond talking like that. Like, do think Draymond
bravado
does like to play with a chip on his shoulder, and sometimes he's got to put it there himself. So that part doesn't really worry me. What worries me is just the wear and tear. That's what worries me. And just the fact that the Warriors aren't very big in the first place as a team right now, and he's going to kind of be asked to play the same way, guarding bigs, and, you know, that can take a toll on a smaller player.
And what's interesting, real quick, Bonte, I know what's interesting is he did say he heard the noise. Like, he knows he's being doubted. So my whole thing is, why did it come to that? Why did it come to you had to hear, you're hearing the noise? There was a reason, and it wasn't what you were saying. It was how you were playing, and that's what concerns me. So now when he made that comparison to Barkley, I was just sitting back like, dude, you're not retired. You still got a career. Now, had you made that and you were done, okay, you make that statement and you move on. But now, you know, there's still chapters left, Dre, and everybody's watching with that Steve Austin eye. Now the bionic eye to see, okay, is he still physically able to do it? The talk is there, but can he back it up?
Yeah, no, I'm – boy, first of all, the popularity gauge. I wonder if it's like 25% Warrior fans wants Draymond out the door. Because they're loud. Whoever they are, whether it's 25%, 20%, 15% – they are loud. They've blamed Draymond Green for the 2016 championship loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've blamed Draymond Green for KD leaving. They've blamed Draymond Green for basically mailing it in last year and saying that, this guy needs to go. He got his money and he's comfortable. So I do wonder about the Warrior fans and where he's at on the popularity list, if it's up or down, if it's ascending. I don't know, Steiny and Goo. I don't know, but it does feel like it's a big-time year for him. And if he doesn't perform, the noise is only going to get louder. It's only going to get louder, and the trade value will diminish. It's not going to be there if he does not ball out next year. Like, what team is going to want Draymond Green if he doesn't perform at a high level for $25 million a year? Plus the player option at the end of the year, end of the deal, where it's, what, $27 million? You know he's not opting out of that. He's not opting out of that at all. So I do wonder here. I want to switch gears for a second, fellas. We can talk NBA a little bit later. What's going on with the Warriors? NBA season is going to be back July 31st. Training camp, I believe, starts July 7th, or teams start to fly down to Orlando July 7th for this playoff, or for the last 8 regular season games and then the playoffs. But, Steiny, you weren't here Friday, and Guru and I talked a lot about Drew Brees. Now, I'll ask you first, Steiny, did you read the apology? Did you watch Drew Brees' his video, the second apology? Because he made 2 apologies Thursday. First, the IG statement. So what did you think about that, first and foremost, before we kick this off?
I'm going to take him at his word and trust that, you know, he's learned some things, and some people have talked to him, and that he's going to try to do the right thing, and he's going to try to be a little more empathetic. I'm ready to give him a chance in that regard for sure.
And real quick, Stani, Friday, Bonta and I, you know, went back and forth, and we both said, I don't feel like Drew's a racist. You know, I wasn't ready to put him in that category, but he had to deal and learn, you know, from his mistakes. But I will say this, you guys might laugh. I looked at Drew Brees Friday. We even talked about retirement. That was being thrown out there, how bad this thing was gaining steam. I feel like he was down 5 points, a basketball game, with 2 seconds left. He hits a three, gets fouled, and there's a technical. So he makes both free throws, and it's a tie game going into overtime. And I say that because his letter to the president, to me, you call me naive, a sucker. That, to me, spoke volumes in regard to he wrote he was going against something or somebody that obviously he had a relationship with, but he did it in the public forum, and the other party that he was writing to, obviously that wasn't good PR for that person. But for Drew to write, you know, we got to change and this or that, I ain't going to say moved. But I was like, hey, Drew, I don't know where that came from, if a PR firm helped you, your agent, but that was a three-pointer with a technical and a foul, because I think that went a long way with giving him the benefit of the doubt. And all of a sudden now, Steiny, his current teammates got his back. They're going to talk, and rightfully so. And Bonta and I were just wondering, how much is that really about, okay, this guy's our quarterback next football season, you know. But I believe that was authentic. His letter to the president. I thought that went a long way, and a lot of people kind of taking the foot off the pedal in regard to saying, you know, he's a racist or blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you guys.
I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. You got to start somewhere. And after what he told Yahoo Finance about, you know, kneeling is disrespect to the flag, and of course, the first apology comes out on IG, Instagram for people that don't know what IG is. You know, we kind of scoffed at that. I said, okay, that's whatever. Anybody can do that statement. Then he, later on that night, comes out with the video and he apologizes, looks into the camera. And then, again, it was like, all right, Drew, I get it. All right, you apologized twice. What are you going to do for your teammates? And apparently the meeting he had with his teammates really moved some people. And, you know, if Michael Thomas is forgiving and Alvin Kamara is forgiving and, you know, Cam Jordan is forgiving and they're saying, hey, Drew, all right, let's do it. Let's move forward now. Okay, Steiny, I brought up, you know, maybe another step in the right direction for Drew Brees is going to set up a meeting with Colin Kaepernick. Set it up a meeting with Colin Kaepernick to have a dialogue and to really, you know, put that on display. Meeting with Colin Kaepernick, a guy who, in my opinion, has been blackballed out of the NFL. But I did think it was a step in the right direction, and to have one of the high-profile players like a Drew Brees tweet at the president saying, this is where I'm standing. That's all a good sign. And you got to give him the benefit of the doubt when you consider what he's done for the city of New Orleans. Sure, he was being 41 years old and mentioning a statement like that on Yahoo Finance. It was the wrong move for sure. But you forgive and you don't forget. And Drew Brees, it seems like he is making progress towards understanding what it meant to kneel and what it means, this whole the peaceful protesting, what it all means. I think Drew Brees is taking a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I do too. You know, the one thing that annoyed me more than anything about this whole thing, I shouldn't say annoyed me more than anything, but did you guys hear about Shaquille O'Neal's role in all this?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Stein. Speak on it.
I don't think it was that.
Go ahead, Stein.
So the New Orleans Saints, I guess, have Zoom conferences where they have a speaker come in. So Shaquille O'Neal was the speaker, and this is after Drew Brees made his comments. And this is what Shaq said. They're going to try to divide you, just like they divided us with the Lakers. Me and Kobe, we had a great thing going, but the media divided our team. We could have won 5 more championships. Stay strong. Don't let the media divide you. Don't let social media divide you. What a bunch of crap. Seriously. Come on, Shaq. The media, you're gonna blame the divide on the media. To me, that like is it almost diminishes what his teammates were standing up for. And I'm talking about Drew Brees' teammates. That's not, it's not about dividing. Come on. Come on, Shaq. And here's the other thing. You were the problem with Kobe. Like, what the hell is going on, Shaq? Like, you didn't take the game seriously enough for Kobe Bryant. What do you mean? The media tried to divide you. Come on. The media can't do anything you don't want them to do.
Right, right.
Please. I don't know why. I thought, annoyed me.
Look, no, it annoyed me. So Peter King's column, Monday Morning Quarterback, I read that in there, and there was a few things that bothered me in that article. And I know Peter King joins DRK, good friend of the station. But I thought this article, man, and some of the things he said, please. Like, the Shaq thing, too. I thought it was hard-hitting with the way it was promoted. Like, man, Shaq joined the Zoom conference, and yeah. It was really emotional. And then you read that, and you say, first of all, the media didn't divide you at Kobe. You kept that thing going. You kept it going. The media didn't. No media divides a team. I don't think the media have that much power in the locker room unless you're weak-minded. So I disagree with Shaq there. And the media didn't cause this Drew Brees controversy. Drew Brees caused it. Media had nothing to do with what Drew Brees said. So, Steiny, I'm with you, man. I thought that piece in the article could have been edited out. I didn't. It did nothing for me as well. I don't know about you, Goo.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I just know Shaq, and just from a Shaq standpoint, him and Kobe buried the hatchet. It was good to see. They got emotional on NBA TV when they had their sit down. And I will say this, though, Bonte, I think the media does have power to drive a wedge into something that Shaq contributed in. Either it was jealousy. You know, they got in the famous fight in practice. But, Shaq's a big boy. He's got titles. And I guess he was originally scheduled to speak to the team. But for him now to talk, I guess it's kind of the grown man in him, you know, where you're kind of out of the player viewpoint. And now you can kind of look what you did wrong. But I will say this, not to even back him up, Bonte, I do disagree with you in this. The media knows what's going on, and when they kind of sense a divide, and we could kind of say here with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, then when they sense something is going one way, they can write or help to incite it to try to make that divide bigger.
No doubt about that, Guru. We'll dive it in. We got to hit the break here. A lot of things going on our G-Chat text line here, fellas. Kind of an inside joke, but we'll continue to talk about what's going on in the NFL, and it's all brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. Roger Goodell's video statement that he made on Friday in a direct reaction to what the players did in the NFL. I want to see if you guys buy that. We'll play that for our audience here, 888-957-9570. That's all sponsored by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. As we all start to get back on the road again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California motorcyclist safety course. Whether it's your first time on a motorcycle or if you've ridden before, anyone can benefit from learning the latest skills and techniques. Visit CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com to learn more.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Phil Collins Day here at 95.7 The Game, or at least on our show. Talking of some NFL, and Steiny, before we play this Roger Goodell audio, Guru, I got to ask you, I'm actually not going to lie to you here. I don't know what the hell you said in the last 30 seconds of your rant there. I got a little sidetrack here on the Gmail chat, if you know what I mean. I know you're caught up there. So you were saying that the media is to blame. Is the media to blame for Kobe and Shaq?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. No, not to blame, but they put some gasoline on the fires. They knew what was going on. They know how to agitate, go to feel, and say something to feel. You know, make it messy. That's all.
Get out of here.
There were similarities with Draymond and Clay. I mean, KD.
Kobe!
Take responsibility for your own relationships, for goodness sakes.
Oh, I'm so out.
Wow. Wow. Series.
Wow.
Come on.
Take the man for his word. I mean, that's
who?
How he failed. Shaq.
Who?
Shaq?
Shaq. Yeah.
I'm done.
Big tough guy Shaq, who doesn't take anything off anybody, but the media broke up his relationship with Kobe. That is the biggest crock of BS I've ever heard. Not only that, I'm surprised that Shaquille O'Neal wouldn't look in the mirror on something like that. That's pretty amazing.
To discount
his selfishness and to blame it on the media. Come on.
The same Shaq who threw gasoline on a fire in Miami and basically ripped Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade. That same Shaq?
Yep.
It seems like he has a track record of doing this type of stuff. He did it in Orlando, too. Peter King didn't either. It did nothing. I'm sure the players was like, oh, good Lord, what is he mumbling about now? Like, it's a sick, come on, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
He was doing just fine.
He's not to blame. He was jealous of young Kobe. I don't need to hear a word out of his mouth. That was, to me, a big part of it. But I'm just saying, the media, just like in any situation like that, when you got two alpha males, they could put some gasoline on the fire, but I'm not sitting here telling you that's the only reason, that's what started it by any stretch. No, Shaq is major fault. It major fault.
All right. 888-957-9570. After a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, just looking at Drew Brees and the news that trickled out in the NFL, are you now giving Drew Brees a pass for what he said? Are you willing to move forward with Drew Brees and give him the benefit of the doubt? Because a lot of people had strong opinions about Drew Brees this past Friday. 888-957-9570. Also, Roger Goodell. I know you guys saw the players' video. Mr. Mentor, who works at the social media department at the NFL, sent the message to Mike Thomas on Instagram. And 23 minutes later, Michael Thomas, wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints, replied to him about doing a video, basically stating that Black Lives Matter. And Mike Thomas got on his horn. He got the Honey Badger, Odell Beckham Jr., probably the biggest name in all of football, Patrick Mahomes. He's on the video saying, I am Tamir Rice, young man who was killed in Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, just a phenomenal video to where the NFL and Roger Goodell basically had to do something. So I want to play Roger Goodell's video here for the audience. If you missed it, here's what Roger Goodell had to say in response to that video posted by the players.
It's been a difficult time for our country, in particular, Black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of Black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without Black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of Black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. I'm actually surprised he sent that video out. I'm surprised we heard anything from Roger Goodell on this subject matter. But what are you guys giving Roger Goodell? What do you guys think of this this video that he posted on Friday on the NFL page on Twitter?
Goop.
Stani, I'm shocked. Fellas, I'm shocked. And we don't know what's in Goodell's heart. Last year, I felt like as a Black man that Trump was calling the shots, and that's why Goodell was coming down heavy-handed in regard to what players could do or what they couldn't do for the anthem. But to me, this was Roger Goodell saying, hell with who's in office, because we know where he stands. We have a crisis on our hands. We're seeing wrong and unjust all across our nation right now. You know, the world is on fire, per se, and I'm going to go ahead and and say this response to where I'm going to back these black players that this means so much to this cause. And it's almost like not he was backed into a corner. You could look at it that way if you want to be pessimist. I'm just going to be proactive and say this is progress that I talked about at the beginning of the show, and why I feel a little bit better about things is because what's going on in the streets, fellas, and social media is why Roger Goodell, I believe, said this response, which was a positive. Now, I'm not going to break it down like an algebra equation, Steiny and Bonte. Did you really mean it? It just was the right move. And again, people are tired. His black players are tired. And he read the room and said a statement that I thought in a million years we wouldn't hear from, that I wouldn't hear him make, Steiny.
Yeah, I just wonder what happens now, to tell you the truth. Are we looking at football teams taking a knee during the national anthem this year? Mm. It almost sounds like that's what's going on. I said this last week, there's some easy things you can do and say to put yourself on the right side of this. Not that it's insincere, but when I heard Goodell say Black Lives Matter, look, that's a statement that a lot of people just, for some reason, they don't want to make that statement. I don't know why, but they don't want to make that statement, or they have to retort to that statement, or they have to have an answer to it. So the fact that he said Black Lives Matter, that's, to me, important, because there's still a lot of people in the country that don't say that or won't say that or have to say all lives matter every single time that comes up. So I thought it was, you know, it's as out there as he's gone on any issue. I don't think there's any doubt about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, here's the thing. I'm not mad at Goodell for using those words. Again, it's another step in the right direction.
Okay.
It felt like it was a direct response from the players' video. Basically, Brendan Minter, NFL video producer for the NFL, like I said, reached out to Michael Thomas, the players make this video. Goodell catches wind of it. He's like, oh, geez, I need to do something too. Like, it felt like the players forced Goodell's hand. They forced his hand. If they don't come out with that video, I highly doubt that Goodell comes out with a statement like that. Now, the fact that he did come out with the statement, knowing that, you know, the president of this country is going to come at him on Twitter, which he already did, it's a step in the right direction. But I'm also thinking this, too, in terms of what Steiny just said, thinking moving forward, what are the owners going to do now? Are the owners – I'm looking at the big dogs, Jerry Jones. I'm looking at Daniel Snyder. I'm looking at Robert Kraft. I'm looking at the big fish here when it comes to the NFL ownership. What are they going to do when most of their team kneel during the season? Like, because it sounds like to me that it's not going to be about which players kneel during the national anthem. It's going to be about which players don't kneel during the national anthem. And that's what, to me, is going to be the focal point when we start the season up. And what will the owners do about that? Because, all right, Goodell, that's fine. You want to come out with a statement knowing that the players basically forced his hand to do something? Whatever. It's about the ownership group to me, fellas. It's about what the big boys do in the ownership group. What are they going to say once players start kneeling? And that's when I'll say, okay, maybe the NFL is changing for good. But at least the players right now is forcing the hand of the owners and the commissioner of the league.
Yeah, and I know you guys kind of – go ahead, Steiny.
No, go ahead, man.
No, I know you guys kind of scoffed at me when I said, you know, and I was hoping, and you two were – you know, you wouldn't be against it that if Cap got a job back in the NFL. Well, now if you pick up your phone or your computer and look over social media, that I just feel like that sentiment is gaining traction by the day. I mean, there's people writing columns like, you know, they owe it to Colin Kaepernick. They owe it to the minorities or the black players. But with that said, I am just watching what's going on and what transpired this weekend. And I don't want to sound un-American, and I've already said this before. I never understood why we have the national anthem before a sporting event. And up until Cap kneeled, I would see people at the snack bar, people not taking off their hat, just doing whatever. I'm just wondering if we're going to see something to where the NFL not even have an anthem before a game start next season. And the reason that would be is people don't want to see, other than, you know, black players, these players kneel. So I'm kind of waiting for that, you know, and I know it might sound crazy, fellas, but I'm kind of waiting for that domino to where, hey, we thought about it. We don't want anybody to be offended. We're not going to play the anthem before games, before seeing all these players, white and black, kneel, which I think would be powerful and progress. But I think before we would see that, they would get rid of the anthem. And that's kind of sad in itself that I feel that way.
I think that, okay, I actually have a little bit of an optimistic view about this, because I think that since Kaepernick kneeled to today, I think the feeling is different. I think we understand it better now. I think people are starting to get it. And whether you like it or whether it's sincere or not, you just look at some politicians. You know, Mitt Romney marching with Black Lives Matter. You know, Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, saying Black Lives Matter. And I believe that. More people are on the right side of this issue than are not. And I'm starting to believe that more people get it than don't get it. And I almost feel like if players kneel on the sidelines, or if the NFL were to forbid them from kneeling again, that they would pay a bigger price for that than if players would start kneeling. Because I think the average person that's not into football but knows that football players are trying to be on the right side of this, I think that would gain them respect at this point rather than lose them respect, yeah. Which kind of I thought was the case when Kaepernick did it 3 or 4 years ago. I'm hoping anyway.
Right, right. I just hope that Goodell had some sincerity about that video. You know, that's moving forward. I just want people to be sincere. If you're going to make a statement like that, Black Lives Matter, I don't want it to be because, sure, the players forced his hand. But I want it to be sincere, and I want to see what they do moving forward. Like Drew Brees, all right, you know, I ripped him pretty good last week. He's making strides. All right, cool. He's making strides. And as long as his teammates, I think, see that, then okay, cool. Drew Brees is making strides. Now he's being educated on the situation. Now he's listening instead of just making blank statements. Goodell, what are you going to do? The owners, man, what are the owners going to do when the season starts? And that's, Guru Steiner, that's what I'm really looking forward to. Because right now, everything is all good. You're talking a good game, but what are you going to do with your actions once the season kicks off? And what are the owners going to say?
And you're right, and I know we don't do politics on this show, but it's kind of the rat on the table. It was the president of the free world that quote tweeted what Goodell wrote. So that's a part of this. How much pressure are the, you know what I mean? We already felt like right. Some did that they were in cahoots together. The owners were listening to the president or the quote unquote, the pressure to conform, not to get him upset. But for him to tweet basically the subliminal of what does this mean or what do we expect? I mean, this has become a movie in itself to where we won't get the answer until the games start. Like, what's going to happen? Will there be repercussions? But I think there won't. And I think Roger Goodell took that bullet by getting up and saying what he said. And Steiny, you were right. It was powerful hearing him use Black Lives Matter to where some act like it's kryptonite. They won't even let those words come out of their mouth and still don't understand the problem in that. But Bonte, to answer your question, I, again, I'm sitting here like we won't really know until September, week one, what these, and I know the players are going to do, but what the ramifications will be, if any. So that's why I'm up here to where if they got rid of the anthem, your boy wouldn't be up here shocked at all. Just so, you know, something like we don't want anybody to be offended. So we thought it would be the best interest of everybody just to do away with the national anthem. I mean, like, I think that's where this thing is headed.
Wow. That would be something if they responded that way to what's going on in this country by just stripping the national anthem.
Would you be surprised, fellas, if something like that happened now with what's going on?
Well, I mean, I think there's oh boy, the TV is a big part of the national anthem.
No,
like okay. I mean, they could probably. What? Why do you broadcast the national anthem? Go to a commercial during the national anthem.
Yeah,
and then the people in the stadium will have to deal with it. But it won't become a. I've never really understood the national anthem before games and stuff like that. But you know, that's one where. I mean, that's going to be a dicey one, because if you try to not play that thing before sporting events, there's going to be some people that aren't going to like that at all.
No, the backlash.
Even though what, there's one out of 10 million sporting events, there's one where you say, hey, who's singing the national anthem? The Super Bowl. Let's face it, like that's the thing, Bonte and Guru, that bothers me too. It's like, stop saying the national anthem is important when 22% of the people are on their phones.
Right.
20% of the people are at the snack bar. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reading over my game notes. Right. You know, trying to figure out how many points Curry has had in the last nine games. You know what I mean? It's give me a break.
No doubt. Let's go back out to the phone lines, fellas. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Steve at San Mateo. Steve, good afternoon, man. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Good afternoon, fellas. I love your show. Great content, as always. I'm with Monte on this, and then probably the rest of you as well, with Drew Brees and Goodell. I'm sort of halfway there with these guys. I mean, if we're going to demand change, sincere change, use that word sincerity, Monte. I think that's the key word. It's going to take some time. I think these guys are moving in the right direction, but whether they're forced to or whether they sincerely mean it, I think that's a matter of time. You know, it's easy for some, and it's harder for others, especially those that are in a position of power, a privileged position of power, to respond. These are direct responses, right, to the way the world is, and they almost have to say something. So I think initially it might come off as sincere, and it might truly be insincere. It's just a reaction. But we need to hopefully have faith that with time and with the continued movement that's underway, that these direct responses will eventually, hopefully, with more education and time, become more sincere. So I'm halfway there with the way everything is going down, and everything's happening so fast. There's still so many more voices we need to hear from those that are in privileged positions of power. It's going to take some time, but it looks like, you know, we're moving in the right direction. So I'm halfway there with guys like Brees and Goodell and everybody else. So I tend to agree with you. So the level of sincerity, I think, I'm hopeful, will become more real and not just a direct response for PR or whatnot. What do you guys think?
Right. I think Steve's on to something there. I agree with Steve. What about you guys? Goo, Steiny?
I think it's possible. Somebody on the text line says, Simon, you said that things have changed since 2016. Like what? I mean, I don't want to be trite, but like the commissioner of the NFL saying we were wrong 4 years ago or 3 years ago. Like that significantly is something that's changed. Another thing that I think changed is the protests themselves are becoming it's crystal clear the protests themselves involve all races of people, all races. That's becoming clear. So that's telling me, ideally, hopefully, that everybody's invested in this issue, or certainly more people of different races and religions, et cetera, are in this one as opposed to in the past. Like, what's different? You know what? You can't really sit it out anymore. That's one thing that's different. You're going to have to, I mean, if you're going to sit it out, you're going to have to say, I'm sitting it out because I'm not into it. And that is even more than anyone's had to do before.
And you know what, Stani, you say that so well. it's not even you got to add the person or persons have to add, I'm sitting this out. It's obvious that you have a problem. And what's changed? Drew Brees. People were saying what he said 4 years ago, and it was the thing to say. Nobody would even bat an eye. And, you know, he caught hell for it. So that's the progress. The P word that I keep using is that's progress in itself now that a guy can say those same exact statements and know now it'll be hell to pay from a public standpoint as opposed to 4 years ago. Oh, go ahead and say it. No, yeah. Nobody will think twice.
I agree. It feels like, you know what? People, like, nobody's standing, nobody's tolerating this being boiled down to disrespect to the flag. Like, that's not being tolerated anymore. And, you know, and people like Roger Goodell are acknowledging that now. You know, it's obviously somebody's probably at the very, very top never going to acknowledge it. But but the point is the more and more people who acknowledge it makes the cause stronger and stronger.
And again, shout out to Brendan Minter, NFL video producer, who came up with the idea to make this player's video basically risk his job. Knowing that, hey, you know what, I may lose my job over this by going behind the NFL's back and reaching out to the players and make this video about Black Lives Mattering. Shout out to Mr. Minter, man, because he could have easily lost his job. And this, you know, Goodell has a video, the players have a video, and ongoing and onward to this conversation about Black Lives Mattering, which they do matter. And it is a credit to Mr. Minter to risk his job, man. I couldn't imagine doing something like that. Let's go to Bill and Campbell. Bill, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Hi, guys. Look, I really commend you guys for sticking with this kind of issue. And, you know, we got enough of when the 49ers won the Super Bowl and the Giants won the World Series and all that kind of stuff. This is so important to me because I was raised in Los Gatos. I'm 60. I'm a psychotherapist. As some of you know, I've talked to all three of you at different times about the Warriors and Raiders and A's. So I'm an Oakland fan for the most part. But I was in Oakland for 15 years, drug, alcohol, and domestic violence. And I got to tell you, I saw it day in and day out with this kind of racism. And my conservative friends would think, oh, you know, you're just a liberal. And, you know, I'd say, you guys are asleep. I grew up with you guys. I played sports with you guys. If you don't see it, you are part of the problem. You know, that's the great line by Soul on Ice there, Eldridge Cleaver. Either you're part of the solution or part of the problem. And the great thing to me that's come out of all this is I've seen some of the protests. I've driven into them. One of them was in Los Altos, a privileged white community. And it was all young people. I mean, high school and college, you know, 19, 20, 21, coming up to me and showing me the signs. And I said, you know, I gave them the thumbs up. And one kid, big kid who looked like he played football, he walked over and he said, well, what are you going to do about it, man? I said, well, what I did about it for 15 years, I was in there working drug, alcohol, and domestic violence. He goes, really? And I go, yeah. Hour up, hour back, 2 hour session, pro bono, because the community needed it, Mandela House. And so I started talking to these kids. So when I hear somebody like Drew Brees turn it around real quick, that, you know, I hope he's sincere. I hope he really did figure out his teammates texting him, his some of his colleagues, his wife saying, yeah, well, we just really kind of figured out now we're part of the problem. We really want to be part of the solution. This is like the silver lining of a lot of racism. It's systemic. It's been here so long. We've seen Rodney King. We saw the chokehold in New York. And, you know, with George Floyd, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I feel like we're in a good position for some real change now if we can continue on. And the more you guys contribute, and all of us, the more these voices get heard. And let's hope Goodell is sincere. You know, Colin Kaepernick had so much courage to sit there and put his job on the line. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, this is such BS that they're turning this into a patriotic thing again.
No doubt.
And it's really about joining those arms, linking up. People are realizing their mistakes, you know? So.
No doubt, Bill. Hey, Bill, we got to run. We thank you for the phone call. Please call us back whenever you want to, man. Great, great phone call. We'll continue on with this conversation coming up on the other side. If you're on hold, stay on hold. More of your phone calls coming up. 888-957-9570, and it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.